Hello and welcome to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. Today on the show, we have Jason Schilling, the president of the Alberta Teachers Association, responding to the parental rights policies announced by the province last week. We also have Carla Power, a teacher at the Christina Gordon Public School here in Fort McMurray, who has won a provincial award for inclusivity. Joining me on the phone here today, Jason Schilling, the president of the Alberta Teachers Association. Jason, how are you doing here today?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
Doing well as well. Thank you so much for the time here today. I just wanted to gather your thoughts on the proposed policies that were announced on Thursday from the Alberta government.
Well, I'm concerned about how the announcement will impact the safety of some of our most vulnerable students that we have in our school population. And I'm worried about how it could have a significant impact on the culture and the operations of.
It is my understanding that teachers were not consulted in these policy discussions. Is that concerning?
Yes, I think when you're making policies and procedures around what happens at school, you should be contacting and having consultation prior to any kind of policy announcement with those who work at schools to see what the issue is, what needs to be fixed, and then working with schools in a way to ensure that our students are safe and secure and that we're not overburdening already a very busy school district.
Maybe talk about that student-teacher bond as well, because there are times a teacher's, you know, someone or maybe even the only one that a student can really trust in their lives.
Yeah, I know that I've been teaching for over 25 years, and I've had many conversations with students who are struggling with all sorts of aspects of their life, and teachers are quite often one of the trusted individuals in their lives. You know, I wish every student came from a loving, caring family, but we just simply know that's not the truth, and for the majority of our students, it is. But to have a really good relationship with students where they trust you to seek help out provides the opportunity for teachers to provide that help, to connect students with the resources or with counseling or other things that will help them sort of resolve the issue. And I'm worried that, you know, if part of this policy would say that teachers need to provide notice if, for example, if a student wants to change their pronouns or if a student is thinking of this and they need to have a conversation, but they know that their teacher has to out them essentially based on this law, I don't know if they're going to come to that teacher. And I find that is really heartbreaking, because that's one of the key elements that teachers work on really hard, is to make sure that school is a safe, caring space for everyone.
Some of the other groups I've talked to have mentioned that notifying parents and waiting for them to opt in for sexual education for their children will be a bit of a hassle and an unnecessary headache at all terms. What are your thoughts?
Well, right now, under the Education Act, parents have the ability to opt out of instruction on human sexuality and religion. Flipping it to an opt-in part is really a huge burden on schools and teachers to try to track these forms down. Now, as it operates, if a student doesn't bring a form in saying that they don't want to be part of the instruction, I work on the assumption that everybody is there and it's all good to proceed. But now I have to work on the assumption that nobody has given permission to have this instruction, and then you need to track those forms down. And if anybody has tried to track down a field trip form, knows that it's not exactly the easiest thing to do. And then kids miss out on very valuable instruction around the human sexuality units that are age and grade appropriate and been developed for years.
Do you feel these policies put kids in danger?
It's going to put some of our students who are our most vulnerable students in danger for sure. It requires a lot of It's just going to be something that is going to put these students at risk. It jeopardizes their safety at school, their acceptance. It requires students who might be struggling with their identity to suppress their identity and then feel like they can't reach out to teachers. It's going to be something where you're putting teachers in the position where they have to violate a student's charter rights. And children have rights just as much as anybody else. And I think that I'm worried about how this will affect our trans youth within our schools.
Say a teacher does not adhere to these policies, if and when they come into effect, is ATA discussing steps to deal with that scenario?
Well, we'll work with government over the next couple of months to just see exactly what they are thinking on some of these policies. Again, we weren't consulted beforehand, and it would have been nice to have been in order to maybe provide some clarity on some of the unintended consequences that they might have had in these decisions. But we will work to ensure that our teachers' rights and their responsibilities are protected as well, and we'll handle that as we get to it.
Why do you feel teachers weren't consulted?
That's a great question for the government and the premier of the province. You know, we've had a history with the UCP government of not being consulted on issues such as the curriculum redesign and implementation process. There's been a variety of things where government has made policy decisions without consulting the profession, and then it seems we end up having to do a little bit of cleanup on the back end to make sure that what they want to try to do works, or we try to dissuade them from moving forward. And I would like to see government not move forward with these policies.
What's your message to those most impacted by these proposed policies?
Well, you know, I want all students who identify or have family members that are gender or relationship diverse to know that teachers in this province support you and that they care for you, and that the ATA has always believed in the safety and security of our students, and we always will. And we will work with government and other stakeholders to make sure that that continues, because it's vitally important that every student feels safe at school. We want kids to be successful. We want them to move through school and to be happy and healthy, and I can't see that ever changing.
Jason Schilling, the president of the Alberta Teachers Association. Anything else you'd like to add here today?
No, I think we've covered it all.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so much for the time here today, and we look forward to getting you on the show here sometime soon again.
Yeah, you bet. Anytime.
We'll be right back after the break on Fort McMurray Matters. Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. Joining me on the phone here today, Carla Power, a teacher with Christina Gordon Public School. Carla, thank you so much for taking the time. How's it going here today?
Oh, it's pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us here today. What do you teach at Christina Gordon Public School?
So I teach ECDP to grade 6 music at the school, and I've been there since they opened.
Alrighty, perfect. And what's one thing you find incredibly rewarding at school, going to school every day?
I love how inclusive our school is. I actually have 2 children with autism who are in grade 3 and in kindergarten at our school, and I've never felt a school quite as welcoming as our school.
And you recently won the Gary McPherson Leadership Award. What does that award mean to you?
It's an award to recognize my leadership in inclusion. And so basically I'm the chairperson of the first ever Inclusion Advisory Committee in Alberta, and we started that at our school in 2019, and we've been growing it ever since, and we've been working on projects like our inclusive playground and just educating our staff, students, and families about inclusion. And it's been a really rewarding part of, it's really not part of my job, but it is part of my life, so I've been able to intertwine the two. And the award was, I was really honored to receive it, because this is work that I do because it's dear and near to my heart, but to be recognized for that was really special.
And maybe talk about some of the work that Christina Gordon Inclusion Advisory Committee does for the kids.
So besides advocating and fundraising for a more inclusive playground, we've also done things like inclusion fairs where we invite agencies from around town who service our families to come and tell the families of children with special needs kind of what services they can provide. We've run mini AAC camps. We've done educational bits about Autism Acceptance Month and Down Syndrome Awareness Week. Yeah, loads of stuff. We've added lots of new titles to our library, so we're getting the representation into the classrooms, and our students are really well versed in what inclusion really is because of it, I think. And you can see it, like, our kids, so my kids who are both special needs, are so popular and everybody wants to play with them, and it's really changed from when I went to school, and I'm really proud to see that change happening, because inclusion is super beneficial for not just my children but for all of the children who learn around my children. So it's the inclusion committee, like, started off as a big idea, and then it just kept growing and growing, and we have parents and staff members that are really passionate about inclusion as well on it. So they've really helped to get things going and keep the momentum up of the work that our group does.
You kind of mentioned this a little bit earlier, but do you feel like inclusion in the classroom has really improved, say, in the last 5 to 10 years?
I do. Like, as a parent and an educator, I get to see it from both sides. And I'm seeing daily how my own two personal children are included in their classrooms and their class community. They may be doing work that is slightly different than their peers, but they're still doing meaningful work in their classrooms. And it's not always with the assistance of an adult. Like, very often their classmates are, you know, assisting them and helping them and working together with them. And as a music teacher, I see it all the time too. Like, music is such a universal language, and really those kiddos thrive in music class as well. So I love that we are such a diverse school and an inclusive school, because it's really, like, it's built a culture at our school for sure.
And while inclusion has definitely made strides in the last 5 to 10 years, definitely something I'd agree with too. My wife being a teacher, I kind of see it from that end as well. I imagine there's still a long way to go.
Like, for education, for sure. Like, there's always more. Like, as parents, we want the best for our children. And, you know, elementary school is kind of where we've been the last 6 years of our journey. And you know, we're moving on to junior high here in maybe 3 years with my oldest child, and I'm a little nervous about what that looks like, and then opportunities for our children after high school, you know, employment opportunities and such. So I still think as a community and as educators, we just need to keep pushing for more and more inclusive practices, not just within the schools, but within the community as well, like work opportunities and things like that.
Maybe just reiterate how important it is to make classrooms inclusive for all children.
Yeah, so I think it's a beautiful relationship that you have to see it, right? The kids are so excited when my children learn something new, or they say something on their communication device that, you know, they request something from a friend. They're excited to be part of that learning journey, and they're learning, my children's peers are learning that there are different ways that people learn by being exposed to my children and to children like them, you know. And although my children are both on the autism spectrum, like, they're so different. And now that they're both at the same school, many people are realizing exactly what that means as well, right? So personality-wise, and I think it's really eye-opening to a lot of students to realize, like, oh, wow, like, this person may have a disability, but they have so many abilities as well.
We'll be back with more from Carla Power from Christina Gordon Public School next on Fort McMurray Matters. And we're back on Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. Carla Power from Christina Gordon Public School joins us again on the phone. I also understand you and your husband run the Hoop Heroes Inclusive Basketball League. Maybe just tell us a little bit about what that's been like, and what the league is all about.
So we started that last spring, and we're just getting ready for our third season. So my husband grew up playing basketball, and his father was his coach the whole way growing up in Newfoundland. And that was always his dream, for our children to play ball. And when they both got diagnosed with autism, you know, That dream's changed slightly for us, but it didn't disappear because my husband is a very good coach and I'm a pretty good organizer. So we kind of put our heads together and we said, you know what, like we need to build a program. There's already a hockey program in town. There's already a challenger baseball program in town. Like, why don't we do a basketball? Like, let's put it out there and see what the interest is. So two seasons ago, we put it out there. We got 66 players, 68 players, I believe, our first season, ages 5 to 18. And then last season, we had 60 plus. And this season, we have 66 sign up again. So the response has been phenomenal. And we've had new players. We've had players return every single season. It's low cost, and like we have lots of sponsorship so far. We're always still looking for more so that we can buy adaptive equipment to really make the game of basketball adaptive for all of our players, because we have players everywhere from with cognitive delays to, you know, physical differences. You know, we had a blind player at one point, and so we bought balls with bells in them so she could hear the ball when it was coming her way. And we have hoops at different heights, and yeah, lots of sensory equipment, because you know that's an overwhelming experience sometimes being in a gymnasium full of bouncing balls. So we made sure to purchase headphones and really like prepare our players for that potential overwhelm. And because we are parents of two special needs children, I think we were able to kind of be proactive on a lot of those things. Yeah, so that's pretty much what the Hoop Heroes program is all about, and we're super excited. We have lots of volunteers, and the volunteers work one-on-one with the players so that the parents can actually sit back and enjoy watching their child participate in a sport.
In a community like Fort McMurray, how encouraging is it to see sports leagues like yours, like hockey and like baseball, that focus on being inclusive for everyone to play?
Ideally, I would love for, you know, the teams to just always have that mindset of like everybody should be able to play versus it be about, you know, winning or making some championship. Like, unfortunately, that's not the reality right now of having, like, our children join, let's say, Northern Trailblazers. And like, great program from my understanding, but just maybe not able to adapt to someone at our children's level. And so that's why we created the program in the first place. And we call it inclusive because, you know, our buddies are very neurotypical, and they come and they work with our players. And so a lot of our players are nonverbal, and they're, you know, I say to our buddies, it's okay. Like, you can still talk to them, and here's a core board to help you communicate with them. And it's great to watch because the volunteers love coming too, and they learn so much from the experience as well, right? So that's why it's our inclusive basketball program, because although it is catered towards special needs children, we love to have volunteers of all abilities join us, because it's so meaningful for our players to play with their peers versus just like another adult, you know? So we accept all volunteers, like kids all the way up to adults, and it's great to have a mix of both for sure. I don't know if I answered your question. Sorry, I'm so passionate about this program.
That's absolutely did answer my question. And I couldn't have drawn it up better myself there, Carla.
Okay.
Again, you mentioned the third season is coming up. What should people know if they want to get involved?
So our registration is currently closed, so for players, because we want to make sure that it is still, like, you know, doable, and we can have enough volunteers prepared and enough equipment and all of that. So right now we're sitting at 25 in the first two groups and 16 in our teenager group. So those are pretty big numbers, but we certainly would love for more people to get involved with volunteering. So they can check out our website, and maybe that's something I can give you to post on your page. And there's a link where they can volunteer with us. And there's also, if they want to support financially, that is always welcome as well, because our real goal is to just make this sport accessible for all and take away, like, financial burdens as well. So our registration fee is $25 for the season, and it's 6 practices, and which is very affordable, I think. And we just want to make sure that parents feel comfortable and safe and included, and there's no barriers put up against them and their children from trying it, because we as parents understand, like, there's so many barriers that we face daily, and so that was one thing that we wanted to really strive for in our program, to not create more barriers.
Carla Power, the teacher for Christina Gordon Public School, anything else you'd like to add today?
I thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. I think the more we talk about inclusion, the more that people really understand what it's all about. And hopefully, you know, everybody will just, you know, think about including other people whenever possible, because it's so meaningful for all parties involved.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time today to talk with us here today, Carla.
Thank you so much.
That was our show for today. A big thank you to both of our guests for joining the show today. We have another good show planned for tomorrow, so we hope you can join us for that. And if you missed any part of this or any other show on Fort McMurray Matters, you can find it online at play1037.ca. Thank you for listening to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Ryan McNally. Have a good day.